What's going on, friends? Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, brought to you by our friends at Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the pod, everybody. Bill Rossetti with you guys here. Hope you guys had a good Monday, or starting off the week on the right note. We're going to keep rolling on here with our kind of season flashbacks that we started yesterday. Monday, of course, we looked at the 1995 inaugural season of the Carolina Panthers. Today, I wanted to jump ahead a few years to one of the fun runs of the Carolina Panthers. We talked about the Panthers' run to Super Bowl 50 a couple weeks ago from five seasons ago. I thought today we'd jump ahead a little bit and look ahead at the, or take a look back at the first run to the Super Bowl for the Carolina Panthers, back, of course, in 2003. It was their second season under head coach John Fox. They were 7-9 the previous year in 2002. Of course, the second year of the 32-team format after the Texans came into the NFL, and it was a strong season for the Carolina Panthers. We'll start with the NFL draft, where the Panthers were holding the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft, and of course, as you guys remember, the Carolina Panthers found themselves a franchise stalwart in that 2003 draft. Now let's, backtrack a little bit, because remember, this was the fun NFL draft at that particular part of the first round. Because if you guys remember, the New Orleans Saints had just made their pick at number 6 overall when they took Jonathan Sullivan, the defensive tackle, out of Georgia. So then the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock and infamously let time expire at the 7th overall pick. So then the Jacksonville Jaguars jumped up and were able to essentially swipe that 7th pick from the Vikings, and that is when they took Marshall quarterback Byron Leftwich with the 7th pick. And since the Vikings still had not made their pick, the Carolina Panthers jumped in and were able to pick ahead of the Vikings as well. And that, of course, is where they took Jordan Gross, the offensive tackle out of Utah, who, as we know, went on to have a tremendous career for the Carolina Panthers, stemming from 2003 through 2013. Made the Pro Bowl 3 times in his career, 2008, 2010, and 2013. And he was the first team All-Pro in 2008. He was named to the Pro Football Weekly All-Rookie Team in 2003, and he now, of course, is a member of the Carolina Panthers Hall of Honor, one of just 5 players that are in that group. Of course, he was one of 4 that were inducted last year, along with Steve Smith, Jake Delhomme, and Wesley Walls, and then Sam Mills, of course, was also in the Hall of Honor for the Panthers. So that's where it all started for Jordan Gross. The Vikings, of course, would eventually finally jump back in with the 9th pick, taking Kevin Williams, the defensive tackle out of Oklahoma State, who still wound up having a pretty good career himself. So it wasn't all bad for the Panther or for the Vikings. But Jordan Gross is who they took in round 1. Then in round 2, pick 50 overall, they went with Iowa guard Bruce Nelson. Then in round 3, they actually took a pair of players from UCLA. First, it was tight end Mike Seidman at number 76 overall, and then cornerback Ricky Manning at number 82 overall. And then they kept with the Pac-12 flavor, Pac-10 at the time, obviously. This was before Utah came into the league. But in round 4, they took Stanford safety Colin Branch at 119 overall. Then in round 5, they went with Alabama defensive tackle Kendall Moorhead, number 145 overall. And then a couple of players in round 7, but neither of which ultimately made the roster. Illinois wide receiver Walter Young at number 226 overall, and Stanford fullback Casey Moore at number 247 overall. And like we mentioned, Jordan Gross went on to make the Pro Bowl, the only one of that group that actually did. We know, like I said, John Fox, this was his second year as head coach. Dan Henning was his offensive coordinator, along with the quarterback's coach. And Mike Dragovac was their defensive coordinator. And like we talked about on Monday with some of the names that were on the coaching staff that have been successful in the NFL, you still have that here as well. Like Mike McCoy was an offensive assistant in this season for the Panthers. He, of course, previously the head coach of the Chargers, and most recently was in the NFL as the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals in 2018. Sam Mills, of course, was the linebackers coach at this time. Unfortunately, this was 2 years before his unfortunate passing, but he was the linebackers coach at the time. And Ken Flagel is still around as well. At the time, he was the linebackers coach for the Panthers. He's now the linebackers coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's actually already entering his fifth year as linebackers coach of the Eagles. He's been in the NFL since 1998, when he was a defensive quality control coach for the Packers. 2003 was actually his first year, so he was a newbie to the Panthers in 03. He had spent the previous two seasons as defensive backs coach for the Seattle Seahawks. He actually replaced Sal Cinceri as linebackers coach, as Cinceri had moved to the defensive line for the Panthers. And he is now, he of course would coach that position until 2008 with the Panthers. And now he is a linebackers coach, actually back as linebackers coach at Alabama. He spent 3 years as assistant head coach and linebackers coach at Alabama, 09 to 11. His last stint in the NFL was from 15 through 17 as linebackers coach of the Oakland Raiders. So just some of the names that have, some of the intriguing names that were on the coaching staff here. And, Scott O'Brien was their assistant head coach as well as their special teams coach. He is now a area scout for the New England Patriots. He's been doing that since 2015. So some intriguing names throughout the coaching staff of this 2003 team. Obviously, of course, we know it was led on the field by number 17, Jake Delhomme. You had the strong running back duo of Stephen Davis and Deshaun Foster. You had Brad Hoover at fullback. Of course, Steve Smith, Ricky Prohl, Musa Muhammad, Kevin Dyson, all at wide receiver. Jordan Gross on the offensive line. Brenston Buckner and Chris Jenkins among the D-tackles. Julius Peppers and Mike Rucker among the D-ends. Linebackers, Dan Morgan was there. Will Witherspoon, Brian Allen. A lot of big names there. Defensive backs, Deion Grant, Ricky Manning, Mike Minter. And of course, John Casey was still there as the kicker. So the regular season started September 7th, week one of the season. And ironically, we're talking 2003 and we just talked 1995. It was against the team that the Panthers came into the league with, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in a tight battle, 24-23, Panthers jumped out to a 1-0 start. And actually, of course, these games were at Ericsson Stadium. That's where the Panthers played there. That's what the name of the stadium was. Of course, it would still be a while before. Actually, this would be the last year. 2003 was the last year before it actually became Bank of America Stadium, as 04 is when Bank of America purchased the naming rights. So it was still known as Ericsson Stadium. Panthers opened there at home with the 24-23 win over the Jags. Then week two, they hit the road to take on Tampa Bay. 12-9 in overtime, they got to a 2-0 start. And then something you really don't see often, I can't remember the last time they've done this. The Panthers had their bye in week 3. I mean, that is incredibly early. I mean, the earliest we've seen over the last few years a team having a bye is week 4. And this year, I think the byes don't start until week 5. But week 3 is quite early. But remember, and, you know, talking about the last time they've done this, I guess I'm more talking about, you know, realignment. Keep in mind, for that short time when there was 31 teams in the NFL, odd number of teams, that meant that you had a bye week in every week of the regular season. So there were teams that were having their bye week in week 1, and then there were teams that had their bye week in week 17. Now, it did just hit me too. There was a couple years ago that the Buccaneers and the Dolphins had their week 1 bye because they were scheduled to play against each other in the season opener. But the hurricane that was down there altered that game, so they had to push it back to later in the season. So it ultimately meant that both those teams had their bye in week 1. But we're more talking about originally scheduled early bye weeks like that, like the Panthers had in week 3. So they had that, and then they just kept coming out swinging, coming out of the bye. They beat the Falcons in week 4, 23-3. Beat the Saints in week 5, 19-13, and then beat the Colts on the road, 23-20 in overtime. That jumped the Panthers already out to a 5-0 start before they suffered their first defeat of the season. Week 7 at home against the Tennessee Titans, losing 37-17. Then week 8, they went to New Orleans, beat the Saints again, 23-20. So just like that, they had the season sweep of the Saints. That moved them to 6-1. And then they went into the halfway point of the season at 6-2 after losing at Houston 14-10. And what was, of course, their first meeting against each other. So halfway point, they are at 6-2. Before we run through the rest of the schedule and ultimately the playoff run, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Rock Auto, our new friends here. And so our friends over at rockauto.com, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes, like Fiat, Kia, etc., and models, Pacifica, XT5, etc., it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain format. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computers, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? And chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. They are a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered right to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "locked on" in their "how did you hear about us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So jumping back into the regular season schedule, again, we left the halfway point 6-2 after the loss to the Texans, but then the Panthers bounced back, getting the season sweep of the Buccaneers with a 27-24 victory at home. That put them at 7-2, and then they got to 8-2, knocking off the Washington Redskins 20-17. So they're 8-2 going into week 12, but that's where they tailspun a little bit. They actually endured a three-game losing streak here. First, it was losing at Dallas, 24-20. Then they lost at home to the Philadelphia Eagles, 25-16. And then lost at Atlanta, which wound up being their only loss in the division, losing in overtime, 20-14. And so that dropped them to 8-5. But then they rolled off three straight wins to wrap up the season, winning at Arizona in Week 15, 20-17, home against Detroit in Week 16, 20-14, and then beating the Giants on the road, 37-24. So they finished with an 11-5 record, and that, of course, won them the NFC South for the first time as they entered the NFC playoffs as the number 3 seed in the NFC playoffs. The Eagles were the number 1 seed out of the East. The Rams claimed the number 2 seed, winning the West. The Panthers were the number 3 seed, and the Packers won the NFC North and the number 4 seed. The wild cards were the Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys. So the playoff run started January 3rd, 2004. The Panthers were at home against the Dallas Cowboys, and the Panthers really stepped up on defense. Held the ball for over 34 minutes, racked up 380 total yards, and held the Cowboys to just 204 yards. Sacked Quincy Carter 3 times, and the Panthers' offense rolled. 273 yards passing for Jake Delhomme. Steve Smith had 5 receptions, 135 yards and a touchdown. Steven Davis ran for 104 yards and a touchdown. And Musa Muhammad had 4 catches for 103 yards, as this game really was all Carolina. They knocked off the Cowboys by a final of 29-10. They were up 16-3 at the half and then 23-3 going into the fourth quarter and held on for the 29-10 victory. So the Panthers, once again, because we touched in the past about the 96 divisional against the Cowboys. So the Panthers early on kind of had the Cowboys number in the playoffs. So the Panthers moved on to the divisional round against the St. Louis Rams. And we all know how much fun that game wound up being. In fact, the Panthers website, if you guys didn't see that yet, just posted that full game on their website for you guys to watch. The full game of the 2003-2004 NFC Divisional Playoff between the Carolina Panthers and the St. Louis Rams in what was the Panthers' first trip to St. Louis since their final year in the NFC West. And of course, the Panthers were pretty big underdogs here. You know, the Rams were just 2 years removed from their trip to the Super Bowl against the Patriots, and the Rams were at home, so Panthers weren't really given much of a shot. But as we know, Panthers dug down deep, and won what, of course, became the first double overtime game and the longest NFL game since 1987. Of course, it wasn't that long into double overtime. The Rams did start early on, so we'll get to that last play. But the Rams started the scoring with 2 field goals to put them up 6-0. But then Musa Muhammad recovered a fumble in the end zone, and the extra point put Carolina on top 7-6. Then another field goal by St. Louis put them up 9-7. Then they were trading a couple field goals there. KC from 45 yards out put the Panthers up 10-9. Wilkins from 51 yards out put the Rams back up 12-10. And then the Panthers kicked two field goals in a row, one from 52, one from 34. That put them up 16-12. And then Brad Hoover with a 7-yard run. And now the Panthers feeling they're in control at 23-12 before the Rams started pulling back a bit. Marshall Faulk ran in from 1 yard out. And then Looker with the 2-point conversion. That made it 23-20. And then Wilkins kicked from 33 yards out. That tied the game at 23. Obviously, they went through the entire overtime without a score as the Panthers came up with a huge defensive stop in overtime as Ricky Manning Jr. picked off a Mark Bulger pass that was intended for Torrey Holt. And, of course, the play happened on the first play of the second overtime, the one we simply know as X-Clown. 69 yards, Jake Delhomme to Steve Smith on the first play of double overtime, won the game for the Panthers 29-23, stunning the St. Louis Rams, stunning the greatest show on turf. Well, not as great a show on turf, but still a very good offense. The Panthers stunned them, and for the second time in their franchise history, the Panthers were on their way to the NFC Championship game where they had a date with the number one seed, Philadelphia Eagles. On what was a cold day in Philadelphia, just above freezing, and as it turned out, so was the Philadelphia Eagles offense. Donovan McNabb was held to just 100 yards on 10 of 22 completions. Ricky Manning Jr. picked off McNabb 3 times. The Panthers' defense sacked McNabb 5 times. McNabb was banged up in this game, but this game was just all Carolina. That defense just was all over the Eagles, holding them to just a field goal. And for the first time in franchise history, by a score of 14-3, the Carolina Panthers had won the NFC Conference Championship, and they were on their way to Super Bowl 38, where it was a date with Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And I remember a couple years ago, when Mark Schofield was still the host of Locked On Patriots, and he spent the bye week looking back at the then 5 Super Bowl titles for the New England Patriots. So he did a recap of all 5 Super Bowl titles with, you know, some folks of the other teams, and he was gracious enough to let me talk about this game, Super Bowl 38, in which, of course, as we know, the Panthers really weren't expected to hold on, you know, hanging really tight with the Patriots. I mean, you're talking still kind of an upstart Panthers team against a Patriots team that had just won the Super Bowl 2 years prior, and it was Tom Brady's magic. But Carolina really gave them a dogfight, especially in those last few minutes. The Panthers had that had a couple big passes on one of their late fourth quarter drives, including a 19-yard pass to Musa Muhammad, a 31-yard pass to Ricky Prohl, and then eventually caught the game-tying touchdown, and the extra point made it 29-29 with 1:08 to play. So the Panthers were right there. They're feeling they had a shot. But then we all know what happened next after the game was tied at 29. John Casey kicked the ball out of bounds, setting up New England on their 40-yard line. And just a few plays later, Adam Vinatieri comes out, and just like he did against the Rams, kicked the field goal to give the Patriots their second Super Bowl title as the Panthers' run fell just short by a score of 32-29, as the Panthers had lost their first Super Bowl appearance, and as we know, the only other time they made the Super Bowl was Super Bowl 50. But it was still a tremendous season for the Carolina Panthers. The boys known, of course, as the Cardiac Cats. After a bunch of their comeback appearances or comeback victories and winning a division title for the first time since 1996. They pretty much got that name, Cardiac Cats, because they played in 5 road overtime games, winning 4 of them, which is an NFL record. That includes the double overtime playoff win over the Rams. They also tied an NFL record by winning 7 games by 3 points or fewer and led the NFL in comeback wins during the season. And of course, this was kind of the culmination of what was an incredible turnaround in such a short time for the Panthers. Because like I mentioned at the top, this was a team that went 7-9 in 2002. That, of course, was an improvement from 1-15 the previous year in 2001 when they had lost 15 consecutive games under head coach George Seifert. He, of course, was replaced by John Fox. And so in just 2 years, John Fox took the Panthers from 1 win to 11 wins and a Super Bowl appearance. Now, hopefully we, I know talking like that, Panthers fans are hoping that similar success is about to come for Matt Rhule in what he did with the Carolina, with the Baylor Bears and Temple. Now, we're not expecting Rhule to lead this Panthers team to a Super Bowl anytime soon, but obviously the precedence is there for quick turnaround, so we'll see. But it was just a tremendous year for the Panthers, 11-5, winning the NFC South, winning the NFC title, and making it to Super Bowl 38. But that's just kind of the quick flashback here of the 2003 Cardiac Cats of the Carolina Panthers. Tomorrow, I think we'll go ahead and look back at their first playoff run, which was back in 1996, just their second year of existence. So with that, I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in and enjoying the show and appreciating. I appreciate what you guys do for me. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. I am out. We will see you Wednesday right here on the Locked On Panthers podcast. Until next time, Bill Rossetti signing off. Take care, everybody. We'll see you soon.